Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to share that today we are being joined by Senator Mike Lee, who will share his thoughts on the fight to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, among other things. For anyone in the audience who is not familiar with our guest, Senator Lee represents Utah in the United States Senate, where he has served since 2011. Lee is one of our members of Congress who is truly leading the fight to secure our borders and enforce our immigration laws. In February, he was on the front lines in the battle against the Senate's so-called bipartisan border security package. That bill would have required the release of asylum seekers, provided billions of dollars for open borders policies, and incentivized even more mass illegal immigration. And in March, Senator Lee led the fight in the Senate to stop the fiscal year 2024 DHS appropriations package, which was moving through Congress without addressing anything at the border. So, Senator Lee, it's great to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Great. So let's dive into impeachment, because that's on the front burner these days. So the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has just announced that the articles of impeachment will be sent to the Senate on April 10th. How do we ensure that the Senate acts on this and fulfills, you know, its constitutional responsibility to hold a full trial? You know, this is really important stuff, and yet I feel like a lot of people just want to sweep this under the rug. What do you think?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to recite the facts, and we need to review history. Mm-hmm. History teaches us that there have been, I believe, 21 impeachment trials that the Senate has been required to conduct. Of those 21 sets of articles of impeachment that we've received throughout the roughly 2.5 centuries of the existence of the United States Senate, we've conducted 17 trials. The remaining four were not conducted. They didn't culminate in a trial because the case had been rendered moot in one way or another by the time the articles reached the Senate or at some point after. Either the individual died or some other fact made it unnecessary to complete the trial. In every other case, that is, absent circumstances rendering the case moot, the Senate reached a verdict of guilty or not guilty. Remember, the Senate, in addition to being a legislative body, in addition to being an executive body, where it plays a role in the executive processes by confirming presidential nominees and also by ratifying treaties, it also sits in a quasi-judicial role for purposes relevant to impeachment. Now, in the case of the legislative and executive calendar, there's no affirmative duty on the part of the Senate to reach a particular outcome, no affirmative duty to ever pass or decline to pass a particular bill, or alternatively to confirm or vote down any particular nominee. There is, however, with respect to the judicial calendar, the impeachment calendar. When we're on impeachment calendar, there is an expectation rooted in the Constitution itself, that we will reach a guilty or not guilty verdict at the end of the proceedings involving a trial, absent these unusual circumstances where the case has been rendered moot. So I think we need to remind the American people of that and point out that it would be an absolute dereliction of duty for the Senate to dismiss this issue through a motion to table. We've never responded to one of these with a motion to table, and I believe a motion to table should not be in order.
Well, so with Senator Schumer and other individuals, senators who support Secretary Mayorkas, argued that this impeachment was hastily thrown together and it's based solely on policy differences. And they're going to argue that we should just bury this, move to table it, it's not real, it doesn't mean anything, and this is just purely politics. What do you say to those critics? I mean, aren't they in essence arguing that violations of the law, we could talk about parole specifically, but violations of the law, failing to enforce the law, that doesn't rise to the level of impeachment?
Yeah, I think they're arguing that, and they are arguing that, this is somehow a hastily crafted process. But by making that argument, they're ignoring a few things, including the fact that the House Homeland Security Committee conducted an in-depth, lengthy investigation. And it issued some pretty detailed reports and held multiple hearings over the course of 6 months. And the impeachment articles themselves outline 7 specific violations of the Immigration and Nationality Act, along with a pretty detailed list of instances in which the secretary may have lied to Congress or obstructed congressional oversight. So, look, if they are so convinced that these articles of impeachment are either hastily put together or that they're baseless, we should ask them, like, why are they so afraid of holding a trial? If you're so confident that these are baseless charges, why not subject him to a charge? Why not subject him to a trial based on those charges? And I think the answer to both of those questions is they know he's guilty and that the evidence presented at trial won't reflect favorably on him or President Biden.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they don't want the American people to see this. This is the last thing. You know, immigration is on the minds of all of our voters, Americans across the country, and the last thing they want to show is how poorly this administration has handled the issue, how they've abdicated their duty to enforce the laws. It's really quite shocking. So then tell me, what do you think we can expect next week? How what is it going to look like? What process do you see unfolding? Do you have particular steps or tools that are available to you? How do you hope to push this thing forward?
Well, you know, we have to remember the Democrats are trying to shirk their constitutional duty, and I'm fighting with my conservative colleagues to make sure that the Senate conducts a proper trial and that every senator, Republican or Democrat, is willing to make sure this matter gets adjudicated by the Senate when the Senate returns. Now, here's the process, though. When the House sends over the articles, we're expecting that senators will be sworn in. We have a separate set of rules. The Senate's standing rules on impeachment kick in the minute we receive the articles. And under those rules, senators will almost immediately be sworn in order to conduct the trial as required by the Constitution in Article 1, Section 3, I believe. And thereafter, we expect that Schumer is going to try to make this motion to table the articles of impeachment. And by tabling them, if that motion to table is deemed in order and if it passes, that would, in effect, end any consideration of the articles on their merits with a simple majority vote. So if this happens, Chuck Schumer and the Democrats would effectively be setting aside the impeachment articles and just deciding not to deal with them at all without hearing a shred of evidence and without making any determination as to their legitimacy or lack thereof. Now, keep in mind that tabling articles of impeachment, this is something that's never, ever happened. And so Democrats would be trampling over precedent if they went down this road. And remember, when Republicans were in the majority during President Trump's first impeachment trial in 2020, we still fulfilled our duty. And we still held a full trial in the Senate because we were required to. We didn't want to have to do that. We wanted to deal with other things and not that. In the end, of course, it exonerated him. But we would have preferred not to have to do it. But we didn't move to table because there's really no basis in the rules, no basis historically or constitutionally to do that. These guys really, really want to avoid a real trial. They don't want the American people to know just how bad the border has become mm-hmm. on his watch. They don't want the people to know, for example, that we had, what was it, about 300,000 migrant encounters just in December alone. I think it was 302,000 total. Highest month ever on record. And that under Secretary Mayorkas's watch, the administration increased the pull factors that incentivized parents across the globe to send their kids on this dangerous journey into the United States, only to have them end up in the hands of traffickers. More than 430,000 unaccompanied children have come into the U.S. illegally under his watch. He's created at least 13 of these illegal parole categories that are designed to increase the flow of people coming into the country by the hundreds of thousands. And by the way, this Immigration Parole Authority is itself unlawful the way they're wielding it. That's supposed to be used on an individualized determination basis only, never categorically like he's done it. As all this is happening, we've seen this record number of terrorists encountered at our borders coming from all over the world. We've seen an amount of deadly fentanyl flowing into the country in record numbers. And not surprisingly, fentanyl poisoning deaths have been way, way up. They don't want to have to confront these facts, and that's why they want to move to table. We can't let them do that.
So everything you've just described so effectively, how bad things have gotten, the violations of the law, I mean, absolute abuse of parole authority and everything. I mean, you know, when you have a secretary who's basically saying, well, if you're simply here illegally, that's not grounds for being deported from the country. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. But what's amazing to me, and I'm going to shift topics just a little, but it's related. Congress just passed this massive funding bill. And so Secretary Mayorkas, President Biden, the White House, they're all doing everything as before. Status quo is in place. They keep releasing aliens. They keep abusing the parole authority, asylum seekers, one and all, whether your claim is valid or not. They keep doing this, and yet Congress is funding them. I mean, how does standing up for impeachment help? I mean, is this about accountability? What do you hope to really get through this trial?
First of all, you don't ever want to avoid taking an action simply because you're uncertain as completely. To the ultimate prospects of success. When I was a federal prosecutor and assistant U.S. attorney, the U.S. attorney who was my boss, a great man named Paul Warner, used to make judgment calls every so often. If we had enough evidence that we believed we could prove guilt beyond reasonable doubt, even if he knew it was likely to be a tough case, he'd say, let's not be the one to give someone a pass if this is otherwise a case that needs to be prosecuted just because we know we may or may not win. It's not a good reason to not bring the case. Somebody needs to be held accountable. And in this circumstance, there certainly is accountability that needs to occur, both for Secretary Mayorkas and for the president who appointed him and keeps him in there, but also for any senators who might vote to keep him in there and cast a vote for letting the status quo prevail and having significant invasion occurring at our southern border just continue unabated. So, there is accountability across the board that needs to happen. That's all thwarted if we just receive it and say, thanks for the articles of impeachment, but no thanks. We've got better things to do, speeches to give, meetings to attend. That's shameful.
Well, and it's, I totally agree. It's about accountability. I also think this is a really important debate. Americans want to hear their members of Congress talk about this issue, hopefully, in a meaningful, responsible, informed way. And I don't think this debate could come at a more important time for our nation. So I hope you succeed. You know, we're all rooting for you, and we're certainly hoping other members of Congress stand with you and fight for a full trial here. Let me move to just something a little different, since you are a great advocate for immigration enforcement and for like-minded members of FAIR here. You have a new bill, and I believe it's called the Valid Act, and it targets the identification of documents illegal aliens are allowed to use when they board commercial aircraft. So can you tell me a little bit more about the bill and why you thought it was so important to tackle this issue?
Yeah, it's interesting that American citizens have to show a photo ID when they do all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. They've got to show a photo ID, among other things, when they board an airplane, whether they're flying internationally, in which case they'll have to produce a passport, or if they're flying domestically, they still have to produce a photo ID, not just any photo ID, but it typically needs to be a driver's license, or another particular type of photo ID issued by a government entity that is deemed adequate by the Transportation Security Administration, TSA. But if you're an illegal alien, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
All you have to do is download the CBP One mobile app, and which they've identified. You enter your name or whatever fictitious name you want to use at the moment, and bingo, you know, without any additional documentation, you just flash the app once you've filled out whatever form they've got on there, you can move about the country, board any plane you like. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely absurd. And in fact, between January of last year, January of 2023, and mm-hmm. September of 2023, over 220,000 aliens were able to enter the United States using their CBP One mobile app account as their wow. sole form of legal identification. So this is emblematic of everything that's wrong with the Biden administration's immigration policies. And at the time that the app was rolled out, Americans were being promised that it'd be used as a tool to help stem the tide of illegal mm-hmm. crossings at the southern border. And then you fast forward to today, it's being used by the president, by the Biden administration as a mechanism for actually bringing in more illegal immigrants into the country. Take, for example, the story of Corey Alvarez. Corey Alvarez was a migrant from Haiti, and he was able to fly to the United States and be paroled into the interior of our country through the CBP One mobile app. And after granting access to our country, he traveled to Massachusetts, where he raped a disabled 15-year-old girl. That's one of many, many reasons why this issue is so important to me, because mm-hmm. Biden's border policies are every day making our country more and more of a dangerous place. So my bill, my legislation, the VALID Act, would end this program. It'd prevent aircraft from entering the United States from a foreign country, from operating in U.S. airspace, if they accept the CBP One mobile app as a form of ID. Mm-hmm. And it also prevent the TSA from accepting the app as ID for individuals trying to fly from one domestic U.S. airport to another. So this is a no-brainer as I view it, or at least it should be. Mm-hmm. Americans have to show proof of ID when they're going to board a plane. And that same standard ought to apply to others. Certainly, at a minimum, that ought to apply to unknown, unvetted foreigners flying into or throughout the United States. So I'm going to be urging my colleagues to take every available chance, including the upcoming reauthorization of the FAA Act. There's mm-hmm. going to be legislation dealing with that, to pass this legislation and to end the practice once and for all. We did, by the way, put this up for a vote with the last spending bill, and all the Republicans voted for it and all the Democrats voted against it. It goes to show how wedded they are yeah. to this idea of unfettered illegal immigration. With the imprimatur of the U.S. government. It's terrible.
It is. It's, you know, under this president and Secretary Mayorkas, it's really an illegal aliens first agenda. I mean, it's everything that is difficult for citizens or legal immigrants even, who work really hard and often pay a lot of money to do everything the right way. And now it's, hey, we'll fly you in. Hey, you don't need ID. We'll just invite you in. We'll give you parole for renewable 2-year increments, and then once you're paroled in, you become a qualified alien under the law, which, you know, over time makes you eligible for almost every benefit under the sun. I mean, it's really shocking. So I'm so glad you introduced this legislation. I'm glad we had an opportunity here to highlight it, so our viewers can see all the great work that you're doing. And, you know, that covers most of the topics I wanted to talk about today. I mean, we could talk for hours, I'm sure, but I know your time is precious. As we move forward towards an impeachment trial here, and really, actually, as we move in the spring and summer, people are debating immigration across the country. What final message would you like to send to our members and your constituents? What would you like to tell them about the state of immigration and border security in this country?
Well, look, our southern border is in crisis. Over 8 million people have illegally crossed our border just since Alejandro Mayorkas became the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. And the numbers just keep rising with these 302,000 encounters in December alone that I mentioned, the highest month ever on record. And these people who are illegally crossing into the United States aren't here just looking for a better life. Many of them are gang members and individuals who are from every country in the world, including thousands of military-aged males from China. Terribly suspicious there. Among them are also drug traffickers. And a lot of people, even regardless of what they did for a living previously, have been turned into drug traffickers through this journey, where they're often used as mules to carry in fentanyl and other controlled substances. And, you know, it's showing up that the amount of deadly fentanyl flowing over our borders is constantly increasing, and we have the death rates to prove it, with over 110,000 Americans dying each year for the last few years as a result of fentanyl poisoning. Meanwhile, instead of trying to mitigate the crisis, the current administration keeps just plowing right ahead with their lax enforcement policies and their other policies that are just designed to facilitate illegal immigration. In fact, the DHS secretary instructed Customs and Border Protection to lower the threshold for claiming asylum and decreased vetting requirements for Chinese nationals coming into the country. But don't just take my word for it. A recent CBS poll showed that 75% of Americans say the situation at the border is a crisis, or at least very serious. And they're right. Just look at the death of Laken Riley in Georgia. This is one of so many deaths that could have been prevented had Secretary Mayorkas just followed the law and detained that illegal alien who killed her instead of releasing him into the country to commit more crimes. Every single day, we hear more stories about more Americans who are being killed, raped, or otherwise severely harmed by criminal illegal aliens. Secretary Mayorkas has refused to follow the law, openly flouting its requirements and deceiving Americans about the impact of his illegal actions. He can't just be allowed to continue. He certainly can't be allowed to avoid the trial that's supposed to follow under the Constitution from the Articles of Impeachment. Our border's in crisis. We must conduct a trial and remove him from office.
Well said, Senator. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an honor to have you on our podcast, and I hope we get to talk to you again sometime soon.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be with you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.